CliffCentral.com.
It's Adele. Send my love to your new lover.
Nice, very nice. Okay, before we get stuck into all the news, there are lots of messages here. Tabo says, Ben, Liverpool didn't lose to Plymouth, they drew. From a diehard United fan.
Oh, it's the same thing, though. Come on. If you draw to a fifth division team, you might as well have lost.
Gloria says, Gloria Mary Mulema says, you guys forgot to mark me as present for the year. Welcome back, family. Sisonke 2017. Love you guys. Ooh. Welcome back, Sister Sia.
Hey, girl.
Morning, Gareth and team. And then a couple of other questions and comments here. Hey, guys, you must check out Ariana Grande and her new track with Nicki Minaj. It's called Side to Side. It's pretty catchy. They apparently mean that they're singing about riding too much dick, and that's why she walks.
Yes.
Yes. Is
that it? Yeah. It goes, and it's not going to be 100%. I've been there all night, I've been there all day, mm-hmm. and boy, you've got me walking side to side. So his dick game is so strong, she's walking funny.
Damn, Gina.
What do you know?
My hitter.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I was thinking of. All right, anyway, so let's get to another one or two of these. I love listening to Randall yesterday, says Kala. Years ago, his old school choice on five was Sign of the Times. First time I ever heard it, and it's become one of my all-time favorites. Thanks for the music. Yeah, it was interesting yesterday. We didn't mention Idols once, and I was meant to talk about that because they start filming next week. Mm. The 13th season, which makes Randall the longest-serving Idols judge in the world. Because he's been on since the first season here.
Oh.
And he's done more than Simon Cowell even did.
Oh.
How's that?
That is quite a record.
No, we didn't even get to that. But if you did have a chance to listen to yesterday, wow. I mean, just a bunch of interesting stuff about him. And this is what I've always wanted to let people in on, is that he's actually a fascinating human being. He's really a lot more interesting than just the guy who comments on people singing on Idols. Then it was nice to hang with him. Today, later on at 8 o'clock, we'll have Dave Levitson and Eric Janssen, who are the hosts of the Gas Comedy Podcast on cliffcentral.com. You can join them in a short while. First of all, can I just talk about my buddy's calendar?
What?
On Tuesday, we sat down to sort out the calendar for guests and everything, and I want to copy everyone in so that Marbs and Ben and Sia and everybody knows what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Because now there's a new way we're going to do the show, and Dory's going to be putting things in the calendar, and Lucas is going to be there, and so everybody needs to be copied in on this calendar. So Greg, who's our technical genius, he sits down with my buddy's computer in front of him, and he was just horrified at what a disorganized, disgraceful mess is going on this computer.
No, that's not what it was about.
He said, because I suggested that it's a bit like a ball of wool where everything's in knots and it's all tight. It's just the most complicated thing. Nothing's been updated.
That's not what the problem was.
What's the problem?
Greg had to go into my system preferences and mess around with my settings.
You're a maniac. Your settings were all wrong.
Because the problem was that my calendar wasn't syncing. And, I mean, he at some point had his laptop next to mine. He was Googling a whole bunch of complicated things.
Because your computer was such a disaster zone.
What do you mean it's a disaster zone?
If he
had to go in and, like, rearrange settings and stuff, that's not my fault.
You're a maniac.
He asked me, has some or other technician been messing around on your laptop?
That's how bad it is.
And I said, well, they very well could have been, but it's not my fault. It just means there was somebody else with the capacity to understand these things did something that was obviously very hectic and messed up my setting.
Wouldn't you love to just spend a day in the life of my buddy? I mean, people are fascinated by you. You really are.
Honestly.
I'm really not that fascinated.
No, you are. No, I beg to differ.
It still works for you, though, in the midst of...
Yes, he managed to sort it out.
Greg, it took him an hour.
And this is like
he
Greg...
Wiped, he really wiped his brow when he was done. But
he was exhausted. My buddy, he says she's got a phone. Listen to this. That phone that she's got over there is apparently one of the rarest phones you can have.
Stop.
It's used to do app development.
Stop. Well,
it's a pure Android phone. Mm. I don't even know what it's called.
It's a Google.
How did you end up with this phone?
So
she's such a dark horse. Okay. I'm telling you.
So last year, just before Christmas,
Greg took the phone. He held it up like a block of gold.
Yes.
He's like, "Where did you get this?" And he knows everything about technology. He said to her, "Where did you get this?" She's like, "Ah, I found it in a drawer at my brother's."
Yeah, he said that there are very few people who have this phone in South Africa because it's at some point it actually wasn't attainable in the country.
Yeah.
So just before Christmas last year, my phone crashed. Just went off, would not come back on.
Because it was full of shit.
No, that's not why. So I took it into, some technicians. They messed around with it for a few days, and they got back to me and they said, "Your phone has suffered a factory fault. The motherboard is messed."
You see, that doesn't happen to normal people.
So, like, your phone needs to be recalled?
No, I need a brand new phone, which is what I'm currently waiting for with my network provider.
Mm. So, you're using this?
I called my brother and I said, "Do you perhaps have a spare phone?" And he gave me his Google Nexus. So, this is what I'm using. Now, Google, apparently, every now and again, they will outsource different manufacturers to, to build a phone for them. So, LG have done it. I think they approached Huawei. Or was it?
It's Samsung, or one of them.
Yeah. So I've got the LG Google Nexus. It's old, but Greg was saying to me, yes, if I could have gotten my hands on that phone, I would have been, overjoyed. But I didn't know this because I'm not a tech person.
No, you're not a tech person at all, which is why your computer was such a good war zone.
Oh, that's like David Attenborough coming to your house, and there's, a brontosaurus bird in your garden.
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh, that thing." Yeah.
This is amazing. I've never seen anything like it. No, it's very... the world of Mabali Moloi continues to be fascinating.
Nice.
Yes.
I'm just waiting for my new phone. Please. That's all I ask.
And that'll probably be a phone no one's got except her.
Absolutely.
What other technology do you have? You got your laptop, you got your phone. Is there anything else? You got anything complicated at home like that Alexa thing that you talk to and then it orders you food?
No. What is that?
It's Amazon's Alexa. It's this thing. It sits in the corner of the room. And you go, "Alexa, can we order nappies, please?"
Oh.
And then she goes, "Sure. How many nappies would you like to order?"
Is that thing fully functional in South Africa?
Yeah.
Oh.
Guys, I was never ready for the future.
No, I don't have one of those.
And then you can ask, you could say to Alexa, you're sitting at your desk and you go, "I need to know the distance between Johannesburg and Pretoria. Alexa, what is the distance between Johannesburg and Pretoria?" And then she'll go, "The distance between Johannesburg and Pretoria is," and 35 kilometers or whatever.
Mm.
Alexa, A-L-E. It's very, very strange. I mean, it's beautiful. It does amazing things. I'm not sure how well it integrates into our own shops and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a friend of mine in Houston that I visited last year, he's got it set up, and literally, you talk to Alexa, and 20 minutes later, there's a box at your door.
Stop.
Yes. This is the future, everybody. You're never going to go to the shops again. You know what wonderful things this means for people like me who just stay at home?
No more.
You'll never see me again.
Christmas.
No.
And bumping into people, Christmas shopping.
Alexa, order Christmas presents for the whole family. Okay. Boxes arrive at your door. What a play. Oh, do wrap them for me as well. Thank you, Alexa.
No, I'm not ready for that.
Watch. It's going to happen. All right. So now we've found out all about Mabali's weird world of technology. You don't have anything like that?
No. No, I don't.
What do you got? Anything else at home? Any other gadgets?
No.
She's trying to mask the truth that she has a secret
no,
lab.
I'm just trying to remember about
Mubs is an app developer.
How my old hairdryer broke the one time. I think it's because that my hair got sucked into the back of the hairdryer, and then I started picked up a
did it burn?
Yes.
It smells like burned hair.
Smell. So then I was like, "Oh, that's weird," and then the hairdryer stopped working.
All right, That's not advanced technology. No, it's a hairdryer. It makes hot air.
What a lovely world you live in.
Such a strange place. I'm telling you.
It's
if you could spend a day in Mabali's life, you would be
delightful.
Fascinated.
Mm.
Absolutely.
All right. There's got to be some news. Let's get into some of that.
Oh, okay. So I've got a couple of questions for you this morning.
All right. We're all ears.
The first one is, why are most people right-handed? And then the second question is, why are some of your penises skew? So where would you like to venture into
first? Are these two related?
No.
Okay. So I thought you were going on that train.
No, these are not related.
Well, I'm going to go, if you were right-handed, because you were literally forced to be right-handed. Like, you were beaten if you were left-handed. I know, like, my mother's dad back in the day, he was left-handed. But at school, he had to tie his left hand behind his back and forced to write with his right hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that.
Beaten with a ruler.
Yep. Yes. They did. They beat people because you were a freak if you had a left hand.
Very dare you use left hand.
They did that to my grandmother, and as a result, she's now ambidextrous.
Or they become
stutterers.
What do they call it? When people they can't figure out the right word, and they write backwards sometimes. Dyslexic. Thank you.
Shame.
You either become dyslexic or you become ambidextrous. So it can be good for some people, but for some people it's very damaging. And they used to really punish people. They used to smack them and hit them. And don't you use your left hand. Even in sport, they would say to them, you're not allowed to use your left hand. You can't be a left-hand batsman or a left-hand bowler or any of those things in cricket. Yeah. People were so mean.
Yeah.
That's torture.
Ben, that did definitely happen, but the answer to my question is a bit more scientific than that. Then, you know, people would beaten.
Because of how you were conceived.
No.
How does it work?
Believe it or not, the clues lie in the use of ancient tools by our ancestors.
Really?
Yeah, that's where the clues lie. So firstly, roughly 90% of human beings are right-handed. So an overwhelming majority of us are right-handed.
Did we kill the left-handed people?
No, it's just... It's just how evolution has turned out, right?
We didn't hunt them for meat.
you mean when you were not eating them? No.
And because they didn't have as many tools, because they were in the minority, because they didn't make left-handed weapons, we easily defeated them. So we would attack them on their left-hand side, and they would be unprepared, because they only had their left. Is that how it worked?
You're unprepared.
The left-handed people, they couldn't use their right-hand side, so we would chop at their left-hand side, and then we would easily win. Did we kill them off? Is that the answer?
That's a good attempt, Gareth, but no, that's not the answer. So, handedness is actually one of the traits that separates us from other primates who don't really show an overall preference for left or right. So primates are essentially ambidextrous,
yeah,
right?
They don't care. They could swing whichever arm is available. They'll swing from the trees.
Now, it's believed that handedness played an important role in human evolution, with a recent study on the earliest evidence of right-handedness in the fossil records shedding light on when and why this trait arose. So, firstly, let's begin with the brain. We've known for a long time that the human brain is composed of roughly two halves, right? They're very similar. You have the left hemisphere that controls language and motor abilities, and then you have the right hemisphere, which is responsible for visual spatial attention.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you look at the early development of ancient tools. The earliest stone tools date back to about 3 million years ago.
Right.
And they found that, these tools were discovered in modern-day Kenya, but they found that early stone tool making would have required a high level of dexterity.
Right.
And they know from experiments that have replicated tool making processes that the brain's left hemisphere, which is responsible for planning and execution, is active during this process. So when humans were trying to figure out how to use their tools, it required, you know, the left half of the brain to become activated.
And the left-hand part of your brain controls the right-hand side of your body.
Which is why the majority of human beings today are right-handed. And because the tools require dexterity, that is what ended up in us developing handedness as opposed to the other primates.
Who's left-handed? Ben, you're not left-handed.
No.
Yeah?
No.
Mubs?
I am.
You are?
Ah.
Oh, we would have killed you in ancient times. You witch. Really? And you didn't have any problem at school? They didn't force you to use your right hand or anything?
No, but there is a funny story that my mom likes to tell.
Yeah?
So when it was discovered that I'm left-handed, when I started pre-primary school...
Did they leave you out in the field and hope to have another child, rather?
No, they didn't. When I started on my first day in pre-primary, my mom made it a point to mention to my teacher, by the way, this one is left-handed.
Uh-huh.
Because they...
Right, this one.
Because they had to put in orders for stationery. So my mom said, this one is left-handed, so she's going to need one of those special scissors,
the
right?
Special left-handed yes. Scissors. I hated those scissors because I would try to borrow them sometimes.
You got so mocked for left-handed scissors.
I thought they were so cool.
In my school, you were nearly stabbed for having left-handed scissors.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's a frustration for the right-handed kids. Okay, so did they buy you the right set?
So the school ordered the special left-handed scissors. And then on the day that they handed me the scissors, I picked up the scissors with my right hand and I started cutting.
Oh, my God. What a rebel.
I write with my left hand. I hold a pair of scissors in my right hand. A knife is actually interchangeable for me. I can use my left or
so
my right hand.
You're quite ambidextrous then.
I guess. Huh. And I suppose it makes sense because my grandmother's also
right.
Ambidextrous.
So I maybe in some way left-handed people are a little more evolved than right-handed people.
So tell you the story when I had to be left-handed in junior school.
What happened with you?
I mean, I fell out of a tree and broke my arm.
This is while you were living in the forest.
Yes.
I was climbing a tree and I grabbed a piece of wood that was rotting and then I fell on my wrist and broke an arm. So it was during exam times I had to use my left hand for 2 months.
Did you manage?
No, I didn't.
Did you write like a freak?
I wrote okay, but I could barely talk. I became like a caveman. I did have such a bad speech impediment. That's what made me so shy and quiet for literally my entire upbringing.
Really? Did you stutter?
So bad. I still have a slight speech impediment, I feel. Like I sometimes battle to get words out.
I wondered what that was.
But what was the... So was there an actual connection between you breaking your arm and then
yeah,
you...
Yeah, because you use different hemispheres of your brain. So... Oh. I'm very ambidextrous, but throughout school, I didn't talk a lot.
If I want to look like I'm barely literate, I write with my right hand, with my left hand. If you try,
just do that,
then I look like I'm retarded.
So when you get stopped at the security gate and they ask you to fill in one of this pointless forms,
yeah, then I'll fill it in.
You just grab it like a drumstick, and then
outside
of the box.
I didn't even know how to hold a pencil in my left hand.
It feels so weird and foreign. Yeah.
But if you think about it, we're very ambidextrous about keyboards. We use both our hands.
Yeah.
Sure. It's like
yeah.
But then again, it's like using both hands for one unified function.
Mm.
It's like boxing. You got your strong right to left.
That is
you
fascinating.
Want to throw both.
That's a very interesting discussion, actually.
Okay, but now onto the skew coxa.
Yes.
Oh.
Which way does your penis lean?
Yes. So if your penis is skew...
Isn't it just down to which hand you masturbate with?
It's got to do with a bigger ball.
Seriously?
When your balls is bigger.
Oh. Weigh it out there.
Did you know, like women have one breast bigger than the other? Do we have one ball
yes,
bigger than the other?
Yes, we do. One always hangs lower than the other.
But then that mean it's bigger, though.
Ben's shifting uncomfortably in his chair, trying to figure out which of
them. I think it's my left.
Okay. So what sometimes happens is that a penis will develop a layer of plaque.
Oh, Jesus.
Excuse me?
Or hard fibrous tissue.
Stuff.
That can be visible as a lump on the penis, and when the penis is erect, the plaque may pull the penis to one side or the other. Right?
We have plaque in our penises? Wait. That is disgusting.
Causing it to appear bent or curved. Now, according to Health 24, in the very extreme cases, this is actually diagnosed as Peyronie's disease. And some of the symptoms which, you know, may lead you to knowing that you might suffer from this disease is that it is also accompanied by erectile dysfunction. Mm. So you struggle in that department.
Yeah.
And your penis can actually be painful. Oh. But essentially, yes, it has to do with the fibrous tissue that develops on your penis. And then when it becomes erect, your penis gets pulled either to one side or the other, which then leads to that slight curve. But in the very extreme case, yes, it is a diagnosable disease.
Have you seen a lot of ones that go left or right, Mubs? Is there a preference?
Just go through your
dick direction. Is it a turn off?
Yeah, is it a turn off?
It's more
a challenge.
Funny than a turn off. Like it's amusing to see.
I don't know that.
I have not seen a lot, to be honest.
See, I don't. You don't see a lot in porn.
I don't you get the big roles of skewed.
Ones that lean or that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they've got to be good looking. So there is such a thing as a beautiful penis and an ugly one.
True,
yes.
All right, so.
I mean,
you don't have a preference left or right leaning.
I have not seen. I mean, it also depends on how extreme the curve is. Some of them just curve slightly, but then in other cases, I imagine that it's obviously very visible, and that's possibly, you know, in these extreme cases where it's Peyronie's disease. But no, I have not seen a heck of a lot that curve or lean. No.
Now you say
most of them have been.
And also, if you were to see one, you don't go, right, let's see this on the chart.
Well, that's the thing. Mabalu just said it's funny. Have you ever laughed at someone? Shame on you.
No, I haven't.
Have you shared with your friends?
You share with the girls.
Afterwards, the girls get around the table and they're like, oh my God, there was this very left-leaning penis I saw the other day.
No, you much rather say.
Wouldn't it be funny afterwards if your penis went the way of your political leader?
And then you could not. Yeah, you couldn't lie about it.
Yeah. So if someone wanted to know if you were a socialist, they just have to pull down your pants, and if your penis is pointing all the way to your left leg.
Oh my goodness.
Then you know.
Oh Lord.
God, that would be funny. That's the first time I've ever had an explanation for that.
In extreme cases, it could be a medical condition.
Fantastic.
But the plaque situation?
Yeah, you have fibrous tissue.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. All right, what else do we need to know this morning?
Well, I've got a story which I'm still trying to get my head around.
Okay.
So Microsoft's getting sued, right? Because, you know, online you've got to moderate things because there's sickos out there who are posting horrible things of animal abuse, child abuse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Various sexual depravity. Yeah. So some people actually have jobs where they, all day, they sit and they moderate, right? So they go, okay, there's some Bali's pictures. They go, okay, they can stay on the internet. There's CS pictures. Let's tag
like
it to later.
They're like the censor bureau.
Yeah. So now some people are suing Microsoft because they feel they are so mentally damaged, psychologically damaged, because all day they've had to see these amazing pictures of, like, things happening. So from, like, strange sexual acts to mutilations to all, I mean, you name it. There's some sick stuff out there. Humans are horrible. So they feel they've got a genuine case now because they are so messed up. These guys are saying they have such night tremors because they're imagining, like, three fists and an orifice and
or ISIS sawing off someone's head.
Exactly. So they've got to watch this, flag it, and make sure that it's not on the internet. And they say that they can't go through ordinary life. They can't look at computers anymore. If you show someone a laptop, then they just suddenly get into, like, cold shivers. Like, some guy believes he can't even hold a knife anymore because of what he's seen people do with knives. Which kind of begs the question, though. Surely they knew they were getting into this. Like, what do you do? Oh, I'm an online moderator. Well, what do you think you're going to do? I don't know. I might see the F word here and there. But if this is your job, like, you've got to know that you're in for something really hardcore. Can you imagine, like, your Monday at 9 a.m., you're going to have to watch half an hour of, like, horse fisting or...
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can't even comprehend what these guys have to watch every single day.
What a horrible job.
But they were told, while working, take walks, smoke breaks, play video games in between. Like, that's going to make you unsee the unseeable.
Shame.
But then maybe they're just recruiting the wrong people, because if they're looking to people to identify the really rough stuff, right, should you go and find the sickos who enjoy this kind of stuff and say, right, what was good today? Yeah. And then they just flag that. That person's not going to be any more soiled in the head than they already were.
What are they suing Microsoft for, though?
They haven't correctly rehabilitated them or given them psychological
counseling.
Uh-huh. So basically they feel they're unprepared for what they've seen and they can't unsee what they've seen. So now
I reckon that would do damage.
Yeah, but
properly.
They genuinely believe they are now damaged in the head. And you kind of got to... Sure, I mean, if you look on Twitter every single day, the mindless stupidity, there's quite a lot of porn out there. There's the ISIS videos. The average person, I think, is a lot more scarred than they used to be. Now, these guys are seeing the bad of the bad that we don't even get released.
Yeah, the stuff that they take off the internet before we see it.
And they're being bombarded with all of those visuals.
What a horrible job.
Can you imagine, they go to dinner, and, like, the guy's like, oh, you know, Susan in accounts, she's such a bitch. And this guy's going, whatever. I saw, like, this guy on fire the other day, eating out of whatever.
Never ask them how their day was.
Yeah.
But there's no way these people can actually live in normal society, because, like, they'll be walking through a park, and the things they'll imagine this person doing to another person.
Here are a couple of messages. Rusty says, Mabali talking about my penis. Zip goes down.
Can I taste your jewels?
Slip goes down. Rusty goes left.
Do you curve left? All right.
Tell us the truth, Rusty. Supernova says, hey, Gareth, I've got the funniest clip of a Jacob Zuma speech. Please repeat the WhatsApp number. Well, you can WhatsApp us, but send that to me on email. Gareth@cliffcentral.com. Send that to me rather, and then we can listen to it. Or you can WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090.
Hey, so here's something that could possibly need to be moderated on the internet. Uh-huh. Who wants to go to Coachella?
Yeah, I would love to go.
You know,
sure.
That seems like a good bargain.
You wouldn't go, Ben?
No.
I'd go.
Well, there's a very generous man out there who lives in California, and he posted something on Craigslist about offering a VIP weekend for one who can be his basic plus one, just for only $1. That seems like a pretty good deal.
What do you have to give him for that?
Exactly.
It's going to be something.
So the ad was written by a 56-year-old man named Gordon from California.
Sounds like a creep.
And he has basic 20 requirements, okay? So it's for VIP pass for the second weekend, and he's willing to give it for free or for a dollar. And he just wants a travel companion that can enjoy the festival with him and have a good time. So he recently left his job and his wife of 11 years.
Okay.
So he now has money, and he wants to be generous with it. So are you ready for these requirements? Maybe
Let's
if you
go.
Fit the criteria and you're up to it. First and foremost, though, you must be female between the ages of 19 and 25. So sorry to
and
us
he's
in this
his,
room.
And he's in his 50s?
He's 56.
Ew.
Okay. It doesn't stop there.
All right.
You must have a fashionable sense of style. You must like some of the Coachella artists who will actually be performing. You know, kind of basic.
Sure.
Then it gets slightly creepier.
Yeah, yeah.
You must keep your hands and feet moisturized at all times.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You must be okay with periodic hand holding, perhaps during certain sensual songs and while walking into the festival initially.
Periodic hand holding. There's your red flag right there.
Oh, is that the red flag?
Good.
Wow.
Oh, gets so freaky and weird. There, you must enjoy periodic moments of extended eye contact. You must allow him to brush your hair once.
Oh, geez. That's the one that's. I'm sorry, I'm out.
Okay. So you were in with the hand holding. The hair is now done.
Some creepy 50-year-old man brushing my hair. Are you kidding?
Number 15.
If I'm a girl, I'm out of there for that.
Any personal grooming, such as toenail clipping, eyebrow plucking, or lipstick application, must be done in his presence.
Oh, no, this man's a mass murderer.
He wants you to clip your toenails in front of him.
No, lock him up.
At least once during the festival, you must allow him to carry you on his shoulders so that you can, see the stage better.
Let me tell you right now, this guy's going to get, he's going to get what he wants. Some girl's going to say sure.
Exactly,
she wants
for a dollar.
Yeah.
At least twice
clipping
during the festival, you must tell him in a playful manner that I am naughty. And at some point in time during the festival, you must tell him that, in quotes, you didn't know how this would go, but you're actually having a really good time.
Yeah, so while you're bleeding from the neck with your body parts exposed, you must now use that line. Yeah. I don't know how this is going to go.
But I'm having a really good time.
What a creep.
This is the last one, and I think this is kind of creepy as well. It says, at least once during our stay, after your shower, you must use the steam to write a cute message on the bathroom mirror for me to find later when I shower.
Oh,
yep. Find this guy, go into his basement. And
just the
thorough investigation.
Oh, mind you, you'll be traveling together in his RV. So
he's got an RV as well.
There we go.
What a perfect. And I bet it's filled with like stuffed possums and other taxidermy.
Well, listen, to see Beyonce perform, Kendrick Lamar, maybe for a dollar, and
but
for this
to possibly end up in the boot of his car. No, that's okay. That's quite fine. Thank
I
you.
I guarantee
Aren't
you,
people
someone
weird?
Will be signing up for this.
What a strange bunch of fetishes.
How?
He wants to brush your hair and you must clip your toenails in front of him. Mm. What is wrong with people?
Mm-mm.
When wasn't sex enough?
Like, people are nasty.
And you know some girl's going to take this offer up. You
Absolutely.
Know that there's going to be someone.
Yeah, there will be. I mean, he wants them from what? 19 to 25?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's, well, if it's a 19-year-old, he's way more than double their age.
But look, you can also look at it this way. You get in there and then you run away from him because you're in, right?
Well, he does have certain requirements as well around who you hang out with. So he doesn't want you to be with other guys.
But he can't sue you. So, I mean, once you're there, you can run around and just tell all your friends that guy wants to molest me or whatever.
And then you
kind of get the prize.
Yes.
Without having to...
Because you could get there and then maybe get to the hand-holding part and then be like, I really need to use the bathroom. And then you go and you never go back.
Although I think once he's got you in the RV, that's it.
Yeah, I don't want to take that risk.
He'll be like, oh, let me see what phone it is. Oh, look, it fell out the window. You can't contact anybody.
Well, here's a possible result as to what can happen if you go with a guy like this. So a 42-year-old man, George Joseph McShane, allegedly strangled his 30-year-old wife, Kristen McShane, and strangled her. She died, but he then, with his freaky self, logged onto her Facebook to post a status update to make it seem like the wife was still alive. Meanwhile, he was just plotting his next step. This is just freaky.
Much clever.
Do we commend him on this?
No, it's just that it's one way to cover your tracks.
This guy in Orlando basically used his wife's Facebook account to basically post up, I can't believe I dropped my phone in the toilet. I'm such an idiot. Message me here till I can get it fixed. Meanwhile, the body of his wife was covered in like a duvet on their bed, basically. The motive of the killing is supposedly because they had an argument and George just lost his temper, jumped on the wife using his two hands to choke her until he realized she was dead. Police were able to actually follow this up after they started recognizing that, like, the wife wasn't seen. And when police actually finally got into the house, they found the husband in the car trying to commit suicide as well. So, yeah, all's fair in love and weirdness. But don't you guys think, like, you know, you can stab someone to death and you can sort of go, oh, maybe it was an argument, but choking someone, I just feel like that's another level. That just shows extra weirdness.
Have you ever been so angry with someone that you wanted to choke them to death? Or that you could have, maybe?
No.
You see, I don't think that extreme. I think, like, ooh, I would love to, like, take all of your right shoes, you know, and just leave your left ones. Because that just screws you up. Death, no. Torture, yes. That's what I'd like to do.
All right, so finally, after all this this time, I've got the new Queen of Vagina song.
Yay!
This woman has written a song for Barack Obama about his banana. You can guess what the...
Oh, boy.
You don't need to have a degree in interpretation to figure out what this is.
I love your banana. Can I give it to my monkey? Can I give it to my monkey?
Hang on.
This is Sister Deborah. My fans call me Derby. I love local and foreign bananas.
All right.
And I dance the banana zoom to so stone feet. Uncle Obama. Uncle Obama. I like the size of your banana. I like the size of your banana. Can I give it to my monkey? Can I give it to my monkey? It will be so very happy. It will be so very happy. Uncle Obama. Uncle Obama. I like the shape of your banana. I like the shape of your banana.
Is it all right? I mean, it's catchy.
It's catchy.
Uncle Obama.
Which is the problem.
Guess what will be stuck in our heads today?
That's the best song I've heard in a long time. Mark Wahlberg apparently told celebrities to shut up about politics.
Good.
Yep.
Okay.
Do you like that?
Sure.
Mark Wahlberg. Here is a great quote that someone left on Meryl Streep's wall.
Someone or...
On a Facebook wall.
Someone insignificant or someone famous?
No, it's not someone famous.
Oh, okay.
But I think this could really make a lot of people laugh. It would probably irritate some people. You ready? Mm-hmm. Dear Hollywood celebrities and actors, You only have one job to do, to entertain me. That is it. You make your living pretending to be someone else, playing dress-up like a six-year-old in a make-believe world in front of a camera. Your entire livelihood depends on my patronage. I'll crank the organ grinder, you dance. I don't really care where you stand on issues. You see, you aren't real. I turn off my TV or shut down my computer and you cease to exist in my world. Once I'm done with you, I can put you back in your little box until I want you to entertain me again. You need to realize that the only words of yours that matter are scripted and rehearsed and understood to be for pretend. In my world, you exist solely for entertainment. When you use your purchased influence to peddle whatever silly ideas you and your cronies have dreamed up inside your bubble, that makes me want to just keep you in the box, locked away perpetually. So, shut your hole and dance, Mikey.
Sure. Okay, then.
Well, you know, Al Pacino was quite quiet for quite some time, so I'm glad he's come up with it.
You reckon that's Al Pacino?
Robert De Niro Robert is De Niro. On the other side of the coin.
Let me read you Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro said, yeah, he's a big fan of what Meryl Streep said.
Oh, mm-hmm. Robert De Niro.
Let me tell you what Bob.
Sorry, Bob. Yeah, Bob.
Because he signs off as Bob. He says, I said you were great, Meryl. What you said was amazing. It needed to be said. You said it beautifully. I have so much respect for you that you did it and that the world was celebrating your achievements. I share your sentiments about punks and bullies. Enough is enough. You, with your elegance and intelligence, have a beautiful voice and one that inspires others to speak up as they should, so their voices will be heard too. It is so important that we all speak up. We love you, Bob. So it split people down the middle.
So, okay.
I have a problem with it. Can I just say one other problem I've got? Meryl Streep and all those actors in Hollywood, they're sitting there in the Golden Globes. I saw the camera panning around. Do you know who they've got among them? Mel Gibson.
Hey, are they forgiven him, Magir?
Well, he's back with
have
the new movie.
Have they forgiven him?
I mean,
because
what
this
they?
Is a well-known anti-Semite. He's a woman abuser.
He's back. It's like a military movie. He's the golden boy right now.
He's so back in the fold.
But how can they tolerate him sitting there? Now, this is such hypocrisy. Remember when he spoke to Oksana, that girlfriend of his? Do you remember that
Oksana
call?
Oksana
Grigorieva, yeah. Do you remember that call?
Tell me that the message was something, right? Because you're doing something. Trying to breastfeed with fucking foreign bodies in you. Was that it?
It has nothing to do with it.
Oh, it had nothing to do with what? The fact that you had foreign bodies in there?
Correct.
Correct, okay, good. So you're not lying to me about fake kids?
I never have.
Yes, you just did. You said they weren't. You fucking lied to me before.
What? I didn't. I never said anything of a kind. You never asked me, I never told you. Or maybe you asked me, but I never lied about this.
Not a lie, who cares? So, they look ridiculous. Get rid of them, why don't you? Anyway, you know.
That's not none of your fucking business. What
it is, it is. They look stupid, I'm just telling you. It's just an appraisal. Keep them if you want. Look stupid. See if I give a fuck. You know, but they're too big and they look stupid. They look like some Vegas bitch. They look like a Vegas whore. Mm-hmm. And you go around sashaying around in your tight clothes and stuff. I won't stand for that anymore.
I don't walk around in tight clothes. I stay at home for most of the time.
You go out public and it's a fucking embarrassment to me. You look like a fucking bitch on heat. And if you get raped by a pack of niggers, it'll be your fault.
And a racist.
All right?
Did I mention that he's also a racist?
You are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs. You feel you have to show off in tight outfits and tight pants so that you see your pussy from behind. And that green thing today was enough. That's provocative. Okay? I'm just telling you the truth.
So here you got Meryl. She's going on about what a horrible person Trump is because he mocked that reporter. But you've got Mel sitting there, la-di-da, having some champagne, enjoying himself, patting other actors on the back, and they're all, hey, Mel, it's good you're back in the fold.
They're possibly talking about their next project together.
Yeah, sure, and meanwhile, and if I were Denzel Washington, I walked over and smacked Mel in the face. She should have got up there and said, you know what, while I'm at it, do the Trump thing, because you're allowed an opinion. And you know what, who cares? You do your Trump thing and then say, and by the way, And everyone will go quiet. And you go, you, Mel Gibson, should not be here with us. Why don't you get out of here? You hate women. You hate black people. You hate the Jews. Mm-hmm. And you're just sitting here among us like there's nothing wrong? Come on. You heard it. That's an actual recording. She recorded him. Sure, she was, you know, it was entrapment of a kind. But now you know what the guy really thinks. Mel Gibson. He's just sitting there.
And she,
hypocrisy.
And Meryl didn't exactly say anything about Roman Polanski either, right?
Well, she did, actually. A couple of years ago, she praised Roman Polanski.
Oh, okay.
She said what a great talent he is, and she gave a standing ovation to him when one of his movies won. Of course, he couldn't collect the award. Why? Because he's a convicted child rapist.
Yeah.
And he can't live in America. Oh, he's disgusting. Anyway, you see, these are the double standards of Hollywood.
I just don't think it had power. The timing was off. The situation was off. Just drink your champagne and accept your award. I'm not saying actors shouldn't voice their opinion. But, you know, there's a long-form article in the New York Times for that. Don't try to...
See, there's a call for you.
I don't like it. I don't want that woman. I don't want you.
I don't want you.
I don't believe you anymore. I don't trust you. I don't love you. I don't want you.
The feelings are okay. The same, Mel Gibson.
Okay. Stay in the fucking house. I'm not giving it to you, but I'll let you stay there. Okay? And I will take care of my child, but I don't want you anymore.
Wow. What a guy, huh?
I think he...
And how quickly we forget.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we've got the internet to keep reminding us what horrible people there are among us.
I think that's why I was invented.
Mel Gibson is actually expecting his ninth child, by the way.
Oh,
imagine
gosh.
Christmas with him.
Jeepers.
And this is a guy also who proclaims himself to be a very religious man. You know, it's the same hypocrisy we've seen 1,000 times.
Ooh, 6 years old and father of nine.
Yeah.
There we go.
Right.
Expecting a child with a 26-year-old, by the way.
Of course.
Who he took to Coachella last year.
In his RV.
Yes.
All right. Here's a Supernova's clip of the president. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honorable Cardo, I would caution against problematizing all professionals. All professionals.
All right, very nice. That's always good. Our president's really a day, you know. And this is how America's going to have the next 4 years.
This is so sad.
Good luck to them.
Oh, boy.
Do you want to hear what your name would be if Trump, or what Trump would say to you in a tweet?
Ooh.
There's a Trump tweet generator.
Oh.
Of course there is.
Just let me put in your name.
I'm not even surprised anymore.
At Mabali Molai.
Okay.
Molai. Let's see what he says to you. When will at Mabali Molai start to apologize to me? That's what he said. Okay. At Sia Sangweni.
Said by Sia.
Yeah, let me just type in another one here.
Oh, you got one of those fancy handles.
Thank you very much.
What is it? At Sia?
Said by Sia, because
ooh,
it is said
okay.
By me.
Wow.
Very original.
That's very razzle-dazzle, isn't it?
Razzle-dazzle.
Do you believe that highly overrated at said by Sia? What a dope. At follow the bounce.
Quite befitting.
Yeah,
okay.
Good one.
Okay, here's Ben's. Ben's one is... I hear that sleepy eyes at follow the bounce will be fired like a dog. I can't imagine what is taking so long.
Oh, my goodness.
Sleepy eyes.
Screw you, Donald. I told you that in confidence.
At Gareth Cliff apologized to me, but I will not accept the apology. I will be suing him for a lot of money. Oh, this is the guy who's going to lead the free world. We're in a lot of trouble, people. And by the way, someone sent me a clip of how I've changed my mind about Trump. Dogoz sent me this clip, which is from cliffcentral.com.
Whoa.
Yeah, about how I felt about Trump.
Be careful what we say. Everything is recorded, guys. Yeah. Everything you say or do will be used against
you. I do admit I've changed my opinion about Trump 100 times. I keep changing it on a daily basis because the guy's unpredictable. One day you hear him say something and you think, well, I could kind of deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's appointed this awesome Secretary of Defense, Mad Dog Mattis.
Is that his real name?
General Mad Dog Mattis.
Jeez, that sounds frightening.
He's amazing. You got to look this guy up. He's a solid military man through and through. But then you hear him tweeting stuff and you think, what a lunatic. This is the last person in the world that needs power or should have power. I'm still jumping around, Dokozo. I have not... I'm so happy this is not our problem in South Africa. I mean, it could be the world's problem, but I'm so happy it's, you know, we've got a president in America who's as embarrassing as the president we have here. So, yes, I have changed my opinion. She says you've done a 180-degree turn. Yeah. I will continue to do 180-degree turns with Trump. You have to.
But is changing your mind on people or issues the worst thing in the world?
I think it's a good thing.
I think it shows that you are, you know, you're open to...
Different ideas.
Possibly... You know, learning new things or educating yourself about things you did not know about before.
Yeah, you're willing to change your mind. That means that you've got a mind that is smart enough to take on new information and be flexible.
Yeah, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
You should be more concerned about people who are dogmatic, who go, no, I believe this. I don't need any more information. I choose to be ignorant. Those people, you should be very worried about those people. No, we've got all the answers to all the world's problems are in this one book that was written 1,000 years ago. No need to look for anything else. Stop all scientific inquiry. It's a waste of time.
Also,
we don't need the iPhone.
Also, if you always believed that you were right, if you didn't have the ability to change your mind, then you could never, ever admit in those cases where you are actually wrong.
And wouldn't you be horrible to live with?
Yes, you would be a terrible... pain in
the worst. All right. So, of course, Vanity Fair, even though I like this this magazine, they've published a story about read Robert De Niro's sweet letter to Meryl Streep about her Trump speech.
Why Trump is president, because we saw all of those about Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, things are great.
Yeah. And then what she lost. So listen to this. This is quite fun. We've only got a bit of time before Eric and Dave pop by. So here's something that happened on Capital FM in London. Ed Sheeran did a cover of a song that we all know. Right, Mubs?
Okay. I mean, hey, Ed. First of all, welcome back. Just wanted to say that I have two loves, both you and the TV sitcom Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
By the way, this show looks like it's hosted by someone who's 12 years old.
And?
I'm looking at this kid. He looks like Justin Bieber could be his father. And he's sitting there, he's the DJ. And Ed Sheeran's sitting on the other side of his ginger hair, and this is obviously a caller.
It would make my life if you could possibly bring the two together and sing the Fresh Prince intro bit for me. Thanks.
All right.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. It's your call, man. You don't have to do it if you don't want to do it.
That's the kid who's in charge of the show. Now, listen, do you remember the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song?
Of course.
West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spend most of my days.
Chilling, maxing, relaxing,
shooting
some b-ball outside of the school.
Then a couple of guys, they were up to no good. Started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got one little fight, and my mom got scared. Said, you move it with the Uncle Bel-Air. A whistle for the cat.
All right.
That is good.
Let's go.
Ed's got his guitar, by the way.
Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground, is where I spend most of my day. Chilling there, I'm maxing and relaxing, all cooling, all shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared. She said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel-Air. I whistled for a cab, but when it came near, the license plate said fresh and I had dice in the middle.
Wow.
And anything I could say to this cab was rare, but I thought, now forget it, yo, home's in Bel-Air. I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, yo, home.
Spent you later.
Looked at my kingdom, and I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel-Air.
I love that.
Woo!
Pretty cool, huh?
Oh, that
That was so fun.
Oh, that was so fun. I'm 12 years old.
That's good. It's like, I wonder if Aunt Viv will approve of that.
Oh, and she hates it.
Blacktress.
Blacktress.
Yes. Blacktress.
What's her name again?
Janet Huber.
Janet Huber.
Blacktress Janet Huber.
Do you remember how she tore into Will Smith and Jada Pinkett?
Jada Pinkett.
I mean, these people are happy, they're successful, they're living their lives, and this bitch has to come out of the woodwork.
She's not, though.
All right, listen to Ed Sheeran doing Love Yourself. Remember, I revealed yesterday that he was the guy who wrote Love Yourself, which was regarded by Billboard as the number one song of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of sales, outsold everybody. I love this song. So here's Ed Sheeran performing it live on stage. It is his song, after all, even though Bieber sang it. Quite cool, huh? Sounds a bit like it could be interchangeable with Bieber. It's just as good. I like it. You like it?
Yeah. Good song.
Here are six other songs you didn't know were written by Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran is a true musical genius. He's written hit upon hit that have been known to bring us to tears. But not only has Ed written songs for himself, he's also penned many successful tracks for other artists.
Okay.
So today, we're looking at six songs you didn't know were written by Ed. When examining the facts, what more could we possibly want out of a musician?
Just in case you loved her horrible voice, this is Tiffany Taylor.
Oh.
Just in case you're looking, because you might want to look up more of her.
We love her.
Multiply debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 chart. Okay. He's had three top 10 singles, and when it comes to capturing raw emotion in song form, he just gets us. That's probably the reason why so many other successful artists have recruited Ed for his wise words of wisdom, including the first artist on our list whose hit song might ring a bell with you, you know, if you're a believer.
Maybe you should know that my mama don't like you.
I still love this song, I've got to tell you.
Ed wrote Love Yourself with Benny Blanco for Justin Bieber, which recently hit number one on the iTunes chart because of its relatable, soothing, yet harsh revenge words. And also the fact that this song will be stuck in our heads for the rest of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And moving on, the next song on our list is a little bit darker.
Should've seen the other guy. This ain't the right time.
I don't know this,
this is The Weeknd, and it's called Dark Times.
Ooh, sounds like something I could like.
You to fall in love with me.
Ed co-wrote and is featured on a track with The Weeknd called Dark Times, which can be found on The Weeknd's album Beauty Behind the Madness. For our next track, Ed teamed up with a 2016 Grammy nominee for Best New Artist, an award he was nominated for in 2014.
Tori Kelly.
CliffCentral.com.